everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for today's call. This is a time of incredible momentum for the Employee Free Choice Act. You know, just 3 weeks ago, nearly 40 leading American economists, including Nobel Prize winners Joseph Stiglitz and Kenneth Arrow, issued a joint statement calling for passage of the Employee Free Choice Act as a critical step toward rebuilding our economy and strengthening our democracy. 2 weeks ago, the bill was introduced in both the House and the Senate, and just last week, a new Gallup poll indicated that there's only growing majority support for the Employee Free Choice Act. Today is one of a series of press briefings and press conference calls that we've organized at American Rights at Work on the Employee Free Choice Act. Many of you joined us last month for a call that we did on the big business campaign of misinformation about the secret ballot. You know, they've spent tens of millions of dollars claiming that the Employee Free Choice Act eliminates the secret ballot election, which we all know now is simply not true. What the Employee Free Choice Act does is give workers the choice, not their bosses, the choice in how to decide whether to form a union. And increasingly, that story is really getting out. We thought it was incredibly great news last week that the Wall Street Journal editorial pages finally acknowledged that the Employee Free Choice Act does not eliminate the secret ballot option for workers. But today's call is specifically on the topic of small business, because our opposition has also been making a lot of, you know, unfounded claims that the Employee Free Choice Act will hurt business generally and hurt small business in particular. And so we wanted to pull together experts to talk about the facts and the impact of the Employee Free Choice Act on small business. So today we'll hear from an economist and from small business owners themselves about the positive impact that unions have on business and on the livelihood of their workers. They'll discuss why the Employee Free Choice Act is good for business and good for the community. So I'd like to introduce our speakers today, and then we'll open up for some questions and answers. First, we're going to have Josh Bivin from the Economic Policy Institute, who's the editor of a new report disputing big business claim that unions hurt businesses. The title of the report is Still Open for Business, and it makes it very clear that there's not a causal relationship between unionization and harm or failure to businesses. So first, let me turn it over to Josh Bivin from the Economic Policy Institute. Josh?
Thank you. Again, my name is Josh Bivins, and I'm an economist at the Economic Policy Institute. Sometimes surprises people who took Econ 101 in college that there are economists who will speak up on behalf of unions, but actually the state-of-the-art research being done in economics actually yields conclusions that bear little resemblance to the textbook predictions that unions are somehow a source of inefficiency in an otherwise perfect market system. We've already mentioned the letter signed by dozens of the world's most prominent economists in favor of EFCA. I would say one thing that really struck me about that letter, I have to say, a number of the world's leading experts on empirical labor economics, that is, the people who know most about exactly what happens in the real world when unions form, signed that letter. And so that, to me, was a really telling piece of evidence. Before I tell you a little more about the report we just released today, let me just make two quick points, broad reasons why there are just really solid economic reasons to support unionization. I mean, first, unions directly address the single largest problem plaguing the U.S. economy over the past couple of decades, which is the rise in economic inequality. And the research on this is crystal clear. The decline of unions over the past three decades has played a major role in the rise in inequality. Those who want a solution to this rise in inequality that does not involve a major fight over tax policy and transfer policy really need to be looking at unions more than they have. And second, at a time when the last two recessions have been caused by over-leverage and consumption that has run ahead of income, unions provide a path to economic expansions that are fueled by income finance, not debt finance, spending in the household sector. So there are just really important reasons from a macro perspective to support unionization. The most common argument mobilized against unionization is some variant of unions introduce inefficiencies to firms and lead these firms to go out of business. This doesn't really have any merit that can be found in the economic data. And just last week, EPI published a briefing paper written for us by John DiNardo of the University of Michigan, who is one of the world's leading experts on the impact of unionization on labor markets. And essentially, the briefing paper, which I'll give you the full title of it, it's Still Open for Business, Unionization Has No Causal Effect on Firm Closures. It essentially summarizes lots of DiNardo's research that he's co-authored with David Lee of Princeton University that examines this issue. And essentially, for those who are interested, I can go into it in more detail in Q&A if you are, but essentially DiNardo has come up with a research technique that really allows you to isolate the actual causal effect of union recognition on the future probability that firms will stay in business. And he finds that this causal effect is essentially zero. That is, unionized firms do not fail at any higher rates than non-union firms. The DiNardo Lee research ratifies earlier research on this topic that was undertaken by Richard Freeman and Morris Kleiner, who came to the same conclusions using slightly different data sets and techniques. The DiNardo Lee research also argues that employment doesn't grow any more slowly in unionized firms than in firms that remain non-union. So essentially, this research really puts the lie to some overblown claims made by those opposed to the Employee Free Choice Act regarding opposing unionization on the alleged grounds that unions increase unemployment. It's definitely an argument playing on the economic fears of the current moment, but it's an argument that just does not pass muster when it's held up against the academic research. Again, I'd be happy to talk more about sort of the nuts and bolts of the DiNardo paper in the Q&A if people would like. But essentially, it is the state-of-the-art academic research examining the causal effect of unionization on what happens to firms, and it finds out that there is no causal effect. They do not go out of business or grow more slowly in terms of employment than their non-union peers.
Josh, thanks so much. And next, what I'd like us to hear from our next three experts are actually business owners themselves. And I'd first like to turn it over to Ruth Shepp, the owner of Ivory Leathers in Fargo, North Dakota.
Thank you, Mary Beth. I am located in West Fargo, North Dakota. And I started my business in 1991 and have grown it to 6 employees. This last summer, my employees wanted to form a union, and I welcome that because I feel that I want my employees to be part of my corporation as it grows and as we all start making a better living. I want them to feel that they are a part of that growth and that they have a good job and that they're secure in their jobs as they see me working very, very hard to keep this corporation going. Now, that will include hopefully better than middle-class wages, will include pension plans, and good jobs that support our families here in our community and our state and our country. We are making American-made products. And who better to have working for me than citizens of my own community and my own state and my own country? We need to keep our money here in America. I want workers to be able to form unions so that they can feel that they have a voice in the creativity of the United States economic progress, starting right here in our own community, our own state, and our own country. I believe our workers in our country deserve a fair choice without fear to choose whether they want a union or not. Right now, I feel that corporations are putting the fear of God into employees, even if they think about forming a union. And I don't feel that's right. I welcome the union into my corporation, and I want my employees to feel comfortable in this setting. All we want for our employees is a level playing field, and I know my employees are intent on helping me grow, helping our corporation grow, so that they can have good jobs and feel proud of making American-made products for our country again. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Ruth Shepp. And next, we're going to hear from Darren Horndash, President and CEO of Wisconsin Vision, with locations across the state of Wisconsin.
Thank you very much. I'd first like to start with a higher-level view from my perspective as a union organized company, and that is we need to have a strong working middle class. We don't have a strong working middle class. I believe that my business is going to suffer. A strong working middle class is right where unions and those employees sit. Now, Wisconsin Vision has been in business 31 years, has been organized voluntarily for the past 29. We have locations, 33 locations in three states. I deal with four different labor contracts presently for all of our employees. And it's an anomaly because our employees, as opticians in our retail centers, they view the optical business as a career in that they're going to get a fair wage, they're going to have a pension, they're going to have health and welfare benefits, something that they could look and plan for into the future. And what that translates to for us as a company is that we have higher patient retention. When we look at our competition and to throw names out there like some of the huge discounters, the Walmarts and the Costcos of the world, I don't believe that their employees view their job as a career in optical. Our employees do. And I have employees who have been with us in excess of 25 years and making a good living, supporting families. And we need that. We need to sustain that in this country. If small businesses like ours, and in our industry we're considered a mid-sized retailer, but if we're going to exist, we need to have that strong working middle class. And our employees are just that. And they're educated. They go out and receive additional training and become certified in their career. And again, when we look at our industry, it is an anomaly in the retail business. So we view this as a very much a plus. With the unions, we have utilized a great deal of opportunity to develop policies and procedures that help benefit our company. So, again, from Wisconsin Vision's point of view, this has been nothing but a positive experience for us for over 29 years. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And next we'll hear from Jim O'Malley, owner of Print and Copy Center, which is a printing press in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Right. Yeah, Jim O'Malley, we're a small, medium-sized company. We have 8 to 10 employees. We've been in business for 14 years. We've been a member of the union for 12 years now. And I encouraged my employees to form a union. I come from a union background. My father was a police officer, uncle's firefighters, steel workers. My son-in-law is an apprentice in the Carpenters Union. And so I come from that background, and I didn't feel that there was any threat at all. In fact, my employees feel this is a partnership. We have planning meetings. They certainly know what goes on in the production floor much more than I do. They offer good and productive ideas and how to increase productivity. It's like a family shop here. We all work together because if the business is successful, then the employees are very successful. We have common goals that we work towards. It's a service-oriented business. We give a great service, a great product at a fair price. And I think, you know, on a much larger scale that, you know, America's evolved in a global economy. And I think it's important for the American workers and the corporations to have to work together for the survival of the American manufacturing base. I mean, the unions have their part, their responsibility to supply a trained workforce and to make sure that the workers give 8-10 hours hard work for 8-10 hours pay. But the corporations also have a responsibility to provide a safe environment and fair wages. So this is a partnership, and I think when we have strong unions, we'll have strong corporations, and when we work together, we'll have a strong America. There's one more point I want to make, that there are no more facilities in America in the trade schools. I mean, the unions provide a source of labor, a source of apprenticeship, and whether it's electricians, the carpenters, the bricklayers. The unions support a well-trained workforce of apprentices, you know, to fill the vacancies that people need. And I think this should be taken into consideration, too.
Thank you so much, Mr. O'Malley. You know, so these are three incredible business leaders in this country who are speaking to the real advantages that their labor management partnerships bring to their businesses. Clearly, you know, the multi-million dollar big business campaign against the Employee Free Choice Act doesn't represent these business leaders. I know many of you on the phone know, I understand there's a hearing happening across town today, and my understanding is that there's even some more small business owners who will be attending that hearing and talking about their support for the Employee Free Choice Act. Before we open it up for questions for any of our business leaders or for Josh Bivin, our economist, I did want to make one more comment. I'm sure as many of you are aware, over this weekend, big business unveiled what they claim is an alternative to the Employee Free Choice Act. Let me be clear. This proposal is no solution at all. It's written by CEOs for CEOs. And it doesn't fix any of the fundamental problems that workers face. It maintains the status quo that gives corporations far too much power. But it is clear that business is divided on this, that while some are making, you know, very cynical threats of quote-unquote Armageddon, it's now significant that other business leaders are acknowledging that we have a serious need to level the playing field. I do think that in this climate of anger at CEO greed and corporate excess,
absolutely,
some are realizing that they need to at least look like they're talking about solutions. But I do want to be clear that this is, we welcome folks that are really committed to leveling the playing field and really rolling up their sleeves and finding solutions that fix this broken system and really restores choice to America's workers. But this particular proposal is no compromise. It's no middle ground. It does not fix any of the fundamental problems that workers have with this broken system.